And this is just a talk right here. I'm going to preach to you after a little bit, okay? I want to read, though, from Titus chapter 2, where it says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, and self-controlled, sound in faith and love and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train young women to love their husbands and children, and to be self-controlled, and to be pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be reviled." You know, over the years, it occurred to me recently that I give from time to time an illustration of my dad. I had a great dad. He's still alive. He's 87 years old and failing to some degree. And I have so many fond memories of my dad in so many ways. But I have a lot of fond memories of my mom. And contrary, we make fun every once in a while. I make fun of my mom's meatloaf. And it's kind of a joke around our house because my wife makes great meatloaf. My mom didn't. I hope my mom doesn't hear this. But I had a great mom. I have no regrets of my upbringing with my mother. She was a great, loving mom. Like so many of you moms, she refused to find fault in me, which is, you know, really blind, okay? But so much so, I remember telling my mom once, I said, "You know, Mom, my teeth stick out." She said, "Honey, you have beautiful teeth." Until I walked into the bathroom one day and found her teeth in a jar. And I realized she told me I had beautiful teeth because I had teeth. She didn't have any. But truthfully, my mom was my security. I can still remember being sick at school one day and really needing to go home. And just the sense of security knowing my mom would be there when I got there. I remember that. I remember my mom was my main source of comfort growing up. She comforted me, and when I cried, she, you know, kissed my cuts and wiped my wounds. And I can distinctly remember. I actually have visuals in my mind of my mom caring for me when I was a little boy. She was my teacher. She was big on history and politics. And she was huge on respect, shaking hands and calling people Mr. and Mrs. And that was super ingrained in us. And she had a pet peeve about slang. She hated slangs. I can remember she hated the word ain't. And she used to say, "If you say ain't, you'll fall in a bucket of paint." That made no sense to me, but I remember her saying it all the time. And in fact, she was so big on English and pronunciation, I couldn't read very well. In fact, she sent me to a tutor, and I hated her for sending him that tutor during the time when all my buddies and I were praying. But I think I learned how to read as a result of that. So I have my mom to thank for that. She was a great example of a wife. My mom and dad were genuine lovers, and they demonstrated that in front of us kids all the time, kissing and holding hands, smooching, all that stuff that we're supposed to do, right, guys? With our lovers, right, guys? Guys? Gee whiz. She was really the resident theologian in our home as well, my mom was. In fact, I learned my first theological lesson on my mother's knee. I think it was, "God help you if you ever do that again." But she really did help me. She instilled church doctrine, and while today I don't agree with the church that I grew up with and its doctrine, there were many truths that were taught me, undoubtedly, and we spent long hours in prayer. We would get on our knees and we would pray, and we were always in church and just instilled all kinds of religious things into our minds as a resident theologian. I have to tell you, though, that she was a lousy a lousy disciplinarian. Can any other moms relate to this? We had no fear of our mother's hand. Any other moms relate to this? That your kids don't fear your hand? See, two hands up there. Really? Oh, there's a lot more now going up. We didn't fear it. My mom, it didn't hurt, you know. It didn't hurt. And she did have a very strong psychological weapon in her arsenal, and she used it effectively. It was something like, just wait till your dad gets home. And that usually instilled some level of fear in all of us. But I want to just, you know, take my, you know, the proverbial hat off to all of you mothers here today, and for all the work that you do. You deserve great praise. Let's give all of our moms a round of applause, shall we? And I do want to just take a moment before we sing that song again, Mark, to just say to you dads and to you husbands, remember I said my mom was a lousy disciplinarian. I think she tried to discipline us. I mean, she had 9 kids, for crying out, 6 boys. We were all, and I think I was the worst of the group for sure. No, I know I was the worst of the group. I just think of the heartache and just the frustration. I was a constant source of frustration to my mother, and yet she loved me through the whole thing. It was just crazy. But what's a mom do? I mean, they just oversee everything, overlook 1,000 sins, right, moms? Right? You don't even recognize those sins half the time. But I want to encourage you dads. God has designed you dads, you fathers, to step up to the plate and be men in the home and be the disciplinarians in the home. Loving, but be a disciplinarian. There should be a healthy fear of you from your kids. And it should be healthy. It should be biblical. It shouldn't provoke them unto wrath and all of that. But it ought to be there, and it ought to come from you. Our kids aren't going to turn out just like we are. And I know some of us get disappointed when our kids turn out a little different than we expected them. But just thank God if they turn out, amen? And God wants you to step up to the plate and be a man. Be the father of your kids. And lead your wife in spiritual matters and in family matters. Stop worrying. You dads, stop worrying about whether or not your wife knows more spiritual truth than you do. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. I'm not using hyperbole here. From men who've said to me, well, you know, my wife, she knows so much more of the Bible than I do. I don't care. The Bible doesn't talk about your level of knowledge. It talks about your position as a father. And you train those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and step up to the plate and open up God's Word and read the Word of God to your kids. Pray with your kids. Yes, your wives should chime in there, but you're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the leader. Lead your family. Lead them at simple things like just don't be ashamed to pray at mealtimes and lead that family. It's okay to ask somebody else to pray once in a while, but they ought to know you're the leader. You're the one who prays, most of the time anyway. And open up God's Word and read the Bible. You don't need a picture Bible to teach your kids. Now, picture Bibles are nice. The Bible and pictures and little lines, that's the first Bible I ever read through. And I liked it, and I appreciate it, and I like picture Bibles, and I give them out. But let's trust the Word of God. They didn't have picture Bibles in Bible times. You know, you just read the Bible to your kids, and they have powerful imaginations. They don't need to see pictures. Let God utilize those imaginations that they have to picture those narratives that you read to them. And understand those truths that you lay down in a fatherly kind of a way with a little authority behind it that mom just flat out doesn't always have. Now, look, I know that we have moms out here probably today. You don't have a husband. You don't have there isn't a father or father figure. Maybe the father isn't saved. Hey, God knows that. He's the father to the fatherless, okay? God knows that. So this isn't intended to heap any kind of sadness upon you in the least. Not at all. But talk to your family. Talk about, let spiritual things become kind of a normal kind of discussion, like it says in Deuteronomy 6, when you walk by the way, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you get up, just the natural times. I mean, I had 16 and a half hours in the car with my son Josh the other day, straight, all the way, and he talks a lot. I don't know where he got it. But I loved every minute of it. I loved it. It was just natural conversation. Talk about spiritual things, the things of God. And so talk about the services. You want to know something you can do? Talk about the services. What they got out of the service. What they got out of the sermon. What they got out of their youth group. What they got out of Shine. What they got out of their Bible reading. Just the natural things to talk about. And don't make this, say, okay, we're going to have devotion. We're going to stick to it for 45 minutes. You don't have to do that. Please don't run them out of the house. Even if you spent 5 or 10 minutes with them. We have 15 minutes every morning. We talk, we read some scripture, we pray, and they get up and they leave, and you say, man, were they even listening to any of this? Listen, you heard me say this last week when we had our youth candidate, that I really believe that the truths that we give our kids are like time release capsules, all right? And that has a scripture behind it, Proverbs 22:6. Train up that child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So you just trust it, even though they don't always respond the way you want them to, or they don't turn out the way you thought they'd turn out, okay? You just keep giving them that truth, and let it come from you dads. Speak unashamedly of Jesus. And listen, if you don't lead in the home, if you remain silent, and your wife's the only one doing the talking, I'm going to tell you something. Your kids will understand that, and they'll take Christianity as a woman's faith. It's a femmy thing. It's not a manly thing. And they need to know that Christianity is both. And the men need to be leading the families. So please take that to heart. As I said, speak unashamedly of Jesus. And lead your kids in other areas. Point them to the church. Make the church of Jesus Christ a priority. Listen to this. A priority above all things non-spiritual. Let me say it again, because some of you aren't getting it. Make the church of Jesus Christ, and particularly Sundays, when we come together to worship, a priority above all things non-spiritual. And when I say all things, I mean all things. Take it to heart. Instilling these truths into your kids. Because believe me, if you don't make the church and the Christ of the church a priority, your kids will get that too. And you'll reap the awful results. But may God give us wonderful results. There's no guarantees out there. We have a sovereign God over all things, amen? But he also loves to comply with his word. And you put those principles to practice into your life and into your family's life, and God will give us results that'll give him the glory, and to him be all the glory, right? Let's pray, shall we? Let's bow and pray about our family. Shall we do that? Father in heaven, I kneel before you and before this congregation, before the Father, from whom all the family in heaven and earth is named. And we pray to you, Father, that you would make great families out of this group of people. And that they would be strengthened. Every man and woman and child here, Lord, would be strengthened with all might by your Spirit, Lord, in their inner person. And that all of us here, Lord, would somehow be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is beyond knowing. But to just start to plumb that love, Lord. And that we would be rooted and grounded in that love. And Lord, we pray these things to you for your glory in the church. I pray that every family represented here would make much of the church, of your church. Prioritize it. Make much of Jesus in their home. And that all their ways they would acknowledge him so that he might direct their paths. And we pray these things, Lord, to you who are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could ever ask or think. According to the power that works in us, to you be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.